The opinions on this show are ours and ours alone.
All information is for entertainment purposes only.
This content is meant for mature audiences.
So press start and come join our game.
Welcome back to another episode of Waiting for Players. I'm Adam.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Peter. The only not Adam.
Well, I'm Adam. Also Adam.
I'm the real Adam.
There's too many Adams in
here. We are Adam.
Fine, I'll go with John this week, but just this week, and then I'm going to go back to being me.
The other two people, can't remember their names, infected by the Adam virus.
It's gotten me.
So today we're playing Gears of War 4. I'm going to be... going through the campaign here. I guess I'll start a new one.
Can we just marvel at this guy's...
Dude, that is an epic beard.
Intensity.
And his sweet tribal tattoo on his shoulder.
His beard is sweet, but his mustache looks fake.
No, it's pepper, salt and pepper.
It looks like it's made out of feathers.
It could be.
Yeah, casual.
He could be...
Casual.
Nah, normal.
Casual says you're new to shooters. Normal says you're new to Gears of War. Hardcore says this is the way it's meant to be played.
And so play it on normal and don't be a pussy.
Insane says, are you crazy?
Don't play it on casual.
Play it on hardcore.
You guys don't play no casual shit around here.
Let's do it on insane and not be able to.
Are you guys casuals?
Well, yeah, if we play it on insane, I imagine the Twitch viewers will pretty much just see the first level over and over and over again.
Fine, we'll play it on normal.
Yeah, at a bare minimum.
Gotta make one of your five save slots there.
Yeah.
Say the magic word. I feel like that's the computer setup they got going on there from Jurassic Park.
It's not covered in candy bar wrappers.
Oh, you know, he hasn't gotten fat yet. Look, he's still skinny.
Fair enough.
That was an interesting transition.
It was. That was pretty cool.
I was like, not expecting. Is it loading?
Yeah.
There is a lot of cutscene in this first part, so
yeah.
I believe that. I guess you guys go ahead and start out the news while we're watching this.
Well, I'm going to let Peter kick it off because I've never played this game.
Actually, I've never played it either.
Oh, well, in that case, our excitement will be real. Brief.
Yeah, real, real brief. Two other people in this room love the game.
I fucking love this game.
Wait, I'm looking.
Is a... Rockstar teasing Red Dead 2.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Isn't this Red Dead 3?
Kind of.
Technically, yes.
Yeah.
In
Revolver,
what regard?
Redemption, and then now this one.
Oh, okay.
I've never played them. I'm asking. I don't know if one of them.
Well, they're console only, though, which is why I've never played.
Yeah, they never released Red Dead Redemption on the PC, which is really
they should have ported it, man. It doesn't make sense.
Especially for Rockstar, it is kind of surprising that they didn't do that.
Yeah, well, just, you know, you see how successful GTA 5 is with the ports and stuff
like
that. Why you wouldn't have done that with a game is that people seem to have loved.
What's its native console? PS3?
Sony.
But it's cross-platform. After Revolver, it's cross-platform. Or is Revolver Sony's?
Revolver might be just PlayStation. Mm-hmm. I know. I don't know. They might have both come out on Xbox also. Red Dead Redemption is actually just... It's the second one, but it's really just a spiritual successor. Like, it's just a sequel in name for the most part.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I need to start paying attention to where I'm running.
No, you don't have to pay attention, bro.
Don't just
you're
die.
Only playing on
it's
normal.
Cool, bro.
I probably will.
It's cool, bro.
Like how you forced your bro out of cover. You deal with bullets.
I think, yeah, it's worth mentioning that you're in the past right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So this is, you're going over things that have already happened in the Gears of War series.
Universe.
Except you're playing as a different character. This is at the same time as 3, right? Or something?
No, this is before 1.
Right now, yeah. This is like 2 years before Emergence Day. If you guys know anything about the story.
I only played the first one, so.
Okay, so yeah, this is like 2 years before the beginning of that war.
Okay.
Reload.
I fucking love the blood fountain out of the head region when you blow their head off.
I completely forgot about the reload little minigame function, and
if you do it right at the right... Oh, shit, I missed it again.
Well, you're
if you do it at the right time, then you get, like, extra power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing that I think is important is that Rockstar's made no official announcement about Red Dead 2, but they've thrown up the old school Rockstar logo from Red Dead Redemption.
Didn't they release an image today?
It's a bunch of silhouettes. Yeah.
A bunch of cowboy silhouettes.
It's kind of cool. It looks like it's sort of almost... It
reminds me of Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, kind
of.
Right. Yeah,
of cowboys standing in the line.
Definitely
on
Western. I just like the art style. It's kind of a kind of painting,
exactly. Kind of miragey.
Yeah,
really don't know anything about it yet.
Desert sunset.
I feel though if they're leaking these images, you know, over the last couple of days, an announcement is soon to be made.
Oh yeah,
you know, maybe
probably.
I'd laugh,
or they could just be dicks.
I would laugh super hard if they were.
It's not April. So
that's true.
But I think it'd be super funny if they're just adding a Western DLC to GTA 5 and we're just getting everybody hyped up for this.
Fuck that.
That would be hilarious, actually.
Why would they do that? Maybe it's a way of gauging interest in a new Red Dead game.
I feel like they already did that because there was like rumors and stuff before.
Yeah.
I think that was them gauging interest probably.
Yeah, no, it's going to happen.
Some people on Reddit are speculating. I don't know if we have the picture up or if anybody's seen the picture.
Oh, wait, yeah,
but
let me get it up.
It is right there.
Well, it was.
Damn it.
Just trying to be magic.
People are speculating that, like, the silhouette in the middle.
Oh, no. You guys are small, Adam. It's on the other side of the screen. There you go.
It's over here.
There you go.
That the silhouette in the middle might be John Marston and... The one, like, I think to the right of him or the left of him might be Bill Williamson. So the guy that shoots you at the beginning of Red Dead Redemption.
Oh.
Nice.
Oh,
okay.
What a dick move.
Well, it starts the story.
I was going to say, I know nothing about this story because they never put it on PC, which is their own fault.
Yeah.
Do you know much about the Halo story? Or the Gears of War story? Or
I don't know. Well, the Gears of War I played on console because... Well, damn it. That was that point in my life.
I'm just saying it's a very easy argument to make. You don't know a story because it's not on PC. Do you know about, like, Dritz? That's not on PC.
It's not on any game except for, like, old school.
So DualShock 4 support coming to Steam. And they're really, it's not just DualShock 4. It's kind of, that's kind of a side effect of some other stuff that they're doing. They're releasing a ton of updates to their controller API through Steamworks. And it'll not only improve your capabilities of using the Steam controller in Steam games and the many Steam games that are coming out right now, but also allow you to create controller support for any kind of controller. And this is kind of awesome. So you'll be able to use a unified API in your game to write all of your input code for Steam. It'll make it a lot easier for you to have, like, cross-controller compatibility. Jump. I think you're supposed to jump up in there, dude.
You gotta throw a grenade in there.
But yeah, it's the article in question is actually a Steam Devs Day controller blog, they're talking about the not only how they're trying to promote their controller, but increase functionality. They also touch on why they decided to do touchpad input on their controllers, as far as being able to extend the functionality of the controller at later dates, and they're making promises to do so.
Sorry,
what is happening?
Yeah, it's the speakers over here. Sorry.
Josh is watching Netflix again.
Well, I can't hear the sound from the game because it's muted, so I can't hear it through here either.
Oh, gotcha.
Interesting.
So can the people on the stream hear it?
Probably not.
Okay. Oh. You don't need sound.
They're listening to our lovely voices. That's
exactly.
I mean,
we're all the sound you need.
I like sound.
Is it up on the mixer?
Yeah, it is, but whatever.
Yeah, so I just said the reason they use the trackpad is it can be easily virtualized through software and then expand the functionality over time. Also, I actually like the touchpad on it. It's definitely an item that's going to take a lot of getting used to. It's even trickier than a joystick, in my opinion.
I think the only reason they can get away with making it work is that feedback, the haptic feedback through the movie. Because I feel like if I didn't feel that, it would be a lot worse. Then
it would just feel weird. Yeah. You're just sliding your thumb on a little pad.
It gives you some kind of gauge, like that's one tick versus two ticks.
Yeah.
It does. I like the Steam controller. I'll buy one eventually. I know I will. Now I'm just trying to decide on when. It's
and
cool that
what?
They said they've already, in one, they pretty much reached exactly a year since they released, and they've already put out 72 updates to the controller, which is pretty fantastic. And they were talking about the user score. So it's got like an 82% user, like, you know, 5-star rating on Steam. So that's putting that, or overall, I'm not sure actually where that score comes from. But basically, so it's got a B-, you know, an overall rating. And it said that they like to be very active in monitoring that and hearing what people's complaints are or what they like, so that they can continue to focus on those aspects of the controller. Basically, Valve's just showing that they're good people and they're supporting the shit out of their new thing. They really want it to succeed. You know, they said they sold 500,000 year to date, and they so far, and they're expecting to sell like over 1 million by early next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is a lot. Yeah, it is a lot. You know, and they've been including it in their Steam sales. So they said every time they include it in a Steam sale, they see a direct increase in use and people buying it. So.
Oh, I'm sure that there are a ton of people that are literally just waiting for the sale to pick it up, because I know Steam is pretty reliable when they do sales.
Well, the product quality is amazing. I mean, I don't think there's any question of that. I think that the reason its user score is a B- is just because of the
haters gonna hate.
Well, yeah, but there's a lot of games that just don't have support for it. I mean, we played Origami last week, and I could tell with the Steam controller that you were definitely using it as though it were a mouse and not, like, it didn't have the same kind of analog input that you would expect from this kind of sticks.
Still just don't have the coordination.
Shit.
I was like,
oh.
Somebody got him right before I got there.
I just don't have the thumb-eye coordination anymore. The joystick can, like, you know, unless it's Rocket League. Unless it's that. But everything else, like, I haven't played a shooter on a controller in so long. Every time I do it, it feels so foreign to me. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with the controller itself, and 100% due to my lack of practice.
Yeah.
I think it's games that use the analog stick as camera control that have the hardest time. Because Rocket League, you don't have that kind of camera control. You have a button that does a 180 for you, and mm-hmm. you have a button that allows you to track the ball, and that's really all mm-hmm. you need. Anything more than that would just be overkill. They don't have to spend any time on that. But in an FPS, I mean, that's a lot harder, especially with that track. I feel like it's easier to just use an Xbox controller. But that might have something to do with the way the game's input is integrated, like for the controller. They might improve on that now that they've put out a...
Better kill somebody, Adam. I'm sorry.
Steamworks API.
John. Mike has two things to say. He says, A, Xbox sucks, and I think that's more for Adam than anything else. and he says, hey, no show, John showed up. Lol.
Oh, weren't you okay. Here last week? Fucking Mike.
He's no show, John, because he didn't show up at Trenchers.
So. Yeah.
I wouldn't have showed up at Trenchers for the same reason John didn't, so it's all right. We forgive him, so you should too.
And do you have a chainsaw?
No, it's an old school one.
Yeah.
Oh.
You could run and stab him.
Run and stab him, bro, Bayonet. Get in their grill. Barbecue him. Yeah, Mike, you can go fuck yourself. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
He really wanted to play some beer checkers with you.
I would have crushed his bitch ass anyways. I'm sorry. I am getting way too amped up. Mike, you know what? Me and you just have to beer checkers another time, okay? Just one-on-one, mano-a-mano.
Oh,
you can drink your
boards.
Shitty
There's
Bud
no
Light, and I'll drink a real
anymore.
Beer, and it'll be fantastic.
That dude exploded.
Yeah, he did. They all explode with this gun. It's pretty impressive. Anyways, so what were we talking about, Peter?
I think we can move on. Just expect the user score of Steam controller to go up, and hopefully they'll have a sale soon, and they're adding a lot of support, so expect to see some cool things with the Steam controller.
Well, yeah, I also imagine just with the amount of time it's going to be out after a little bit, that like developing for it will just become kind of, not expected, but a lot more commonplace.
Yeah.
Just because they know more people are starting to use them.
Mm-hmm. So this next story is actually one of my favorite things I've read in a while.
Well, why don't you go ahead and tell us what it is then, John?
So, basically, two of the developers for Shadow Warrior 2...
From Flying Wild Hog Studio.
Yeah, recently told the Kotaku in an email, when asked about their game's lack of DRM, that, you know, they're basically saying, like, you don't have any. And what's the plan there to stop piracy? And they're like, there really is no plan to stop piracy, because they're like, any DRM we would have implemented into the game would have taken time and testing and stuff like that. And instead, they chose to spend all of their time just making their game better, you know? Which I think is fantastic. Because they said straight up, and they got it right, which is people that pirate games are going to pirate games, whether or not you have DRM in there or not. Mm-hmm. You might delay them a little bit. Whoop-de-fucking-do, they're still going to steal your game.
It's not just the fact that they have to implement and then test the code for anti-piracy in their game, but it also costs them money, even with third-party software being used. So they could just use that money for man-hours also, beyond just the code. So... And I think that in the same article they were talking about these third-party programs being cracked already.
Yeah.
So it's just a kind of a stopgap, like just for your first day release sales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the dev, Chris, his reply when they asked him about it, like, isn't it going to hurt your opening day sales and all that? Mm-hmm. And he just says, "We don't support piracy, but currently there isn't a good way to stop it without hurting our customers." Denuvo, which is one of the anti-piracy things, he says, means we would have to spend money for making a worse version for our legit customers. It's like this FBI warning screen on legit movies, you know, which I think is a good answer. And it's good to know that, like, you know what, they're just like, fuck it. Like, it's going to happen. Let's just focus on making a game so good that people will just buy it because the price is reasonable and the game quality is high.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what they say will sell games. And
also, there's statistics online. Sorry, John. There's statistics online that show that DRM and piracy doesn't have a huge effect on the bottom line of the sales of a lot of different products, especially video games. So it seems like a lot of people that do pirate actually pirate the game to test to see if they want to buy the game, especially if the game has integrated online services. Mm-hmm. Like games like Shadow Warrior are actually kind of in the red zone, but if you have games like Destiny or World of Warcraft or something like that, they have a lot smaller number of piracies that don't end up being purchases.
Right. Yeah. It's literally people, and I'll admit it, I've done it before as well, just to check it out and go, yes, I will buy this, and then logged into Steam. And
there we go. I was pressing the wrong button the whole time. That's why.
It's B, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I liked it. They said, when asked if they knew how many copies they think might be pirated, and how that compares to the sales of the game they're hoping for, Zelensky said, "Frankly, dear, I don't give a damn."
This guy just ran away.
Which I think is an awesome quote because, you know, he's just like, fuck it, it's going to happen. He's like, we're not trying to project it. We don't. They basically just took a passive stance on it and said, you know what, we're not tracking it directly right now or trying to, like, guess. You know, they're like, we're just focused on making our game, releasing it, and getting
Holy
it to the
shit.
People that want to buy it.
That's a corpser.
That's a crab.
That's a corpser.
That's a crab.
That's a corpser.
That's Mr. Krabs.
That's a corpser.
He sells hamburgers.
Oh, wow. He's making a Gone with the Wind kind of reference there.
Yeah. Yeah. And he lives in a pineapple under the sea.
What?
Right. SpongeBob Crab Pants. Oh.
No, but frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's. I didn't know what he was talking about. But oh, you're talking about that
I was
thing.
Still stuck on Mr. Krabs. Okay. I was still stuck on Mr. Krabs. It's Mr. Krabs.
Don't forget to get the Hammer of Dawn.
Yeah, that's where I'm heading. Just don't want this guy to kill
me. Awesome. And actually, just to give them a little bump, the Shadow Warrior 2 game, if you haven't seen it already, you should definitely check it out because it's now, I think, 4-player co-op instead of the single player that they had before. And it's essentially samurai and guns. It's pretty sweet stuff. So check it out.
That does sound
Those
like
guys just
time.
Keep coming, dude.
Yeah, you just gotta...
You just gotta get the hammer.
Just gotta no, get the hammer up.
Down. They're gone now.
They're just gonna keep coming.
I'm pretty sure he just schooled you.
Nah, they're just going to keep coming.
Schooled you like a punk. Anyway,
see, there
ooh,
they are.
Ooh, laser beam. Oh, that looks rough, bro. It's a blood fountain. It's like a laser beam of blood.
Apparently in other news, Konami is now going to be releasing all of MGS5 for, was it euros? Did we see that in? 30 euros?
Yeah, 29 euros.
So that's, what, like 40 bucks?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's going to be not only Phantom Pain, but it'll be Ground Zero's Phantom Pain, Metal Gear Online, and DLC, which I'm assuming it's like kind of miscellaneous DLC. It'll be for maybe all of those products. But for that price point is really good. It's really good. I mean, because when... Ground Zeroes first came out, it's a short game, so it was only $30, and then you pay full $60 for Phantom Pain. So those people that bought that early are paying $100 after tax for all of their stuff. You can get it now for $40.
I think
so,
I will buy it now,
on
too.
Xbox, on the X-Bone, as some of us call it.
Gross.
Wait, X-Bone. Is it only on Xbox?
Gross.
That they're doing that?
No, I believe
they're PC too. Yeah.
The image I have up says PS4 as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to. I'll pick it up because I wanted to play the Phantom Pain after watching you play it in your room.
Because it's fucking badass.
While you weren't looking, John was watching.
Always watching.
It's a little peephole.
I had a webcam. I just remotely access it. Yeah, it just looks like a fun game. And that's a really good price for a game that's really not that old. You know, it's been out for a while for sure, but it's still a completely viable game. And to get all of the DLC and the other two, what are they, like expansions? Yeah, for $40. Like, why not? That's a deal.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm buying the game for $60, because that was what got me at the time. I just couldn't afford it.
Yeah. It's an amazing game, so it's definitely something that anybody who hasn't checked out Metal Gear Solid 5 should probably look into it.
I might have to do that as well.
Well, sweet deals is sweet deals, man.
Exactly.
It's definitely a good game, even if I'm not a huge fan of the ending.
And even though Ground Zeroes is short, that game is also sweet, which is it's more or less the prologue for the Phantom Pain, but it's still awesome.
Yeah.
You can beat it in like 10 minutes if you aren't a completionist.
Oh my god,
it.
John.
But you can spend like an hour or more on it if you're
Well, if you want to be completionist, you can get 10 or 15 hours out of it.
For sure.
But that's you have to want to find the little nuggets of awesome in that game if you otherwise you can just go through playing it.
Laser beam and man, come on, you're pissing me off. Do it. Yes. Yes.
The voice actors for video gaming are possibly going to be going on strike come October 21st. At the moment, they are in negotiation with the video game industry, or people representing the video game industry are in negotiation with SAG-AFTRA. Which, for those that don't know, is the Screen Actors Guild and American Foundation of Television Radio Artists.
It's a combination of two different unions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is why they're kind of hyphenating that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but that's interesting. So, what the gripe is about is that the voice actors are essentially, the environment in which they've been working has changed over the past 20 years, and the agreements that were made 2 decades ago aren't really holding up to the kind of work environment and the amount of revenue that games now are getting, especially how heavily they use voice actors for immersive purposes, just like in Gears of War. These people are getting paid a lot less for when they could be doing other jobs that make them a lot more money. It's not competitive. So they're hopefully going to come to some kind of agreement at the end of their, I guess what they're calling the 11th hour negotiation. Negotiations, and hopefully something will resolve there. But if nothing happens, then they'll be going on strike. And I don't know what that's going to mean for the next year. I'm assuming a lot of games that are coming out in the near future have already had all of their voice acting needs fulfilled. But we have no idea what that'll mean. It could mean delays for games if they haven't gotten their voice actors yet.
Yeah, that's a... It's a common thing, though, with stuff. As stuff increases, old agreements don't hold.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, for instance, the U.S. postal system, like, we get all the money for our mail that we ship, like, to other countries, right, for all those stamps. And then the countries that ship mail to us, they get all the money for stamps. But since we send way more mail than they do, we're making way more money on the postal system. And they're still delivering it on their end in the other countries. So they just, they're renegotiating that. They just renegotiated that right now to make it more fair to every country. So it's just a commonplace thing. Old contracts get old, man. And it doesn't keep pace with like what happens with the economy or what's going on. I don't know how much a voice actor makes for a video game, but I feel like if you're in a fairly iconic role, it probably pays all right, right?
Well, you would hope. It doesn't get into specifics here.
Adam?
But I'd imagine that they wouldn't be...
Mike wants to know if you're going to get the $55 from Sony for the PS3 lawsuit.
I don't know, because I didn't really see what the details were for that. I know it's about the other OS, taking away the other OS option.
I don't know. You have to elaborate. Yeah.
When the PS3 first came out, it had a other OS option where you could install Linux on it.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And then just use it as a computer, you know.
Stab. Sorry. Oh, it's back to the chainsaw.
It's the chainsaw now, yeah.
That's even better. Chainsaw.
If you get shot when it's going, though, it doesn't work.
Yeah, that's what I was figuring out right there.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, they had given that option at first, and after the PS3 got hacked, they took that away.
Are you gonna, I don't know, file it as part of the class action?
I might. It depends on what you have to do to, like, prove that you were part of that or not. It's not like I have any receipts or anything, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still have the PS3. It's dead.
Need your original purchase receipt. You're like from 2005? You know, like, what the? Who keeps that? Weird people, that's
people waiting to score those sweet class action lawsuit dollars. Money.
Yeah.
Might make $30
later. Dude, my dad keeps receipts like that.
It's weird. But they do have a lot of systems now. Like, if you purchased it at Best Buy or Fred Meyer or something like that, you can go with the old credit card number, and they can pull up receipts that you would... They do that Home Depot.
I used to do it all the time, and then people, I'd be like, duh, it's not there, and they're like, I know, I bought it. I'm like, did you get a new card? They're like, yeah, and I'm like, then it's a different number.
Yeah.
So I can't look up
the old number.
Yeah, well, I tell them you can call your bank. They'll give you the number, but you're going to have to do the legwork. Like, I can't do that part for you.
I don't know, that was my own guy. Yeah. Just
shot. You know, but when it comes to important amounts of dollars, like, you know, and people complain about it, I'm like, if it's that big of a deal, call your bank, get the number, man, and I'll look that shit up and print you a receipt. Like, done.
Well, you know? And anybody listening knows that they can do that if they're going to be a part of this lawsuit.
Yeah.
They can go figure out if they can remember. I mean, obviously, remembering where you bought something 10
That's
years
the
ago
thing.
Is
yeah.
Wrong.
I probably bought it at Target. I don't remember what card I used. I probably don't even have that same
bank
account.
Also depends on how much money you're going to be getting.
Like, yeah.
If it's worth
$55, it just depends.
Yeah, if it takes
20
hours to figure this out, maybe it's not fucking worth it.
Like, if they can do it based off of your, like, PlayStation account or something, like it was active then and you had PlayStation or whatever.
That would make things a little bit easier.
Yeah, but they probably don't want to make it easier because they don't want to pay people, so we'll see. We'll see what it takes. Adam will get back to you on that next week.
Maybe.
Painted him into a corner. Look at that.
Not much else to say about the voice acting. Just we'll keep tabs on it and update you further if there's any interesting news. If I'm assuming that obviously the video game industry wants to resolve that, so we'll probably, hopefully nothing will happen. But
I wonder if it's solely the video game industry and not also cartoon voice acting and movie voice acting.
It didn't,
or commercial voice
the
acting.
The article doesn't seem to focus on any other media than video games.
Okay.
But we should look into it. I'll look into it and see if I can't find any more details.
Because that would affect... I mean, granted, these people work across a huge spectrum, but Jennifer Hale, she's a regular for DC Animation. Tom Kenny, who's SpongeBob, he's a regular for DC Animation. There's a lot of people that would, like, a lot of voices you love that you'd maybe not know. Like Mr. Krabs, for example. Mm-hmm. He's the Kurgan from Highlander. He does a lot of voices, man. You'd be surprised. He did Darth Maul's brother in Clone Wars.
Oh, there you go.
But
oh, really?
Yeah, you'd be surprised how many voices would be affected if this strike actually happens. Like, there might be a season of Adventure Time without Finn and Jake.
Yeah. I'm not even sure how they would do that. But
delay Adventure Time.
Yeah.
Adventure Time is taking
like
a nap.
Half season.
Is that thing's eyeballs gone? Did you guys cook
it?
Yeah.
This is the event that Marcus Fenix caused that ended the war.
Oh, okay.
So now you are finally caught up. See, there's the transition. You transitioned into the...
And now are we about to end their game, their ass, and like chase them back to their world and kill them all?
No. Their world is your world.
Oh, no,
yeah,
inside.
They came out of the ground.
Oh,
but
that's right. They're from the core.
As far as we know, so far in the game, at least they're all dead. Because that's what you did at the end of Gears of War 3.
Yep.
Okay. We saw an interesting gameplay trailer for Prey over the last week.
Yeah.
Looks really psychedelic, really scary.
I swear to God, though, when I was at PAX, I saw the same trailer, except it was a dude's voice.
Maybe. They might have revoiced it.
That happens all the time.
Yeah. But not that's a huge deal. It just kind of threw me
off. Told you don't mess with that mic, John.
I didn't mess with anything.
I heard
you. Yeah, you heard it this time, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't touch the cord.
I didn't touch the cord.
Yeah, you did.
Can't prove it.
Yes, I can.
Stomach is touching the cord.
Well, it's not my fault it's so long. Who put this big wangy cord out here?
Who put that big gut there in
it's
the way of the cord?
It's everybody else's fault.
Same person who put your gut there.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not.
About your gut. I fed you, too.
We'll put links up for the Prey video. We also have another video that is all on the Megabots and discussing further kind of design philosophies and ideas for the U.S. Megabot. It's really cool to see that. We'll put links up to that as well. And they're talking about just kind of the overall safety of the cockpit and maneuverability and stuff like that. It's really interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all we have for news.
Also really cheesy.
Yeah, no, their reality television show kind of approach is really not working. But you guys,
I'm sure people like it.
It's corny, but I don't know. I keep watching.
People probably like the
camera. Well, I think that the content is interesting. I think the stuff in between, the filler stuff.
Yeah, I'm not watching it for their jokes.
No, definitely not. Their jokes, they sound like their voice is made out of wood. They're like robots themselves.
Voices made of wood.
Yep.
Excited to see what how the robot can move like a boxer, though.
That's not going to be as impressive as you think.
Well, yeah, because it has no ankles. So.
Way to ruin my dreams, John.
Starts dancing around and shit. Side hopping.
Fuck, it does the Macarena. Say, and you're like, oh shit.
Or we say, oh, it can't do that. And then the fucking Japanese one busts out like all about
like
DDR. Dance.
Yeah. DDR.
I wanted to break dance, spin around, and then strike a pose and then hop back up on
its feet. Well, is the Japanese one still going to be on four legs? Because I feel like you have a lot more control over the angle of your robot with four legs.
I mean, you're supposed to the two tank treads, so they'll have to do this when anytime they want to change direction.
For ours, yeah.
Wind flare.
Not with theirs. They could have four different motors.
A big tornado storm thing.
Of lightning bolts. It looks like a sandstorm, but on crack.
If you look at their lightning, though, it's not the best
quality
lightning.
I think so too.
it looks like it's made out of some sort of plasma or something liquid that's moving around.
Well, it's a wind flare. I mean, what do you want here? Jesus, you want science?
I don't know. Well, it looks like an F-10 tornado.
Wait till we get to the horse.
Exist, but
wait till we get to the horse.
Oh yeah, no, the horse. Yeah, the horse. Oh, you guys. Maybe the viewers are enjoying all the obvious statements like that are in this first sequence here.
Yeah. Just hit the title sequence and we're a half an hour in.
Yeah.
Pick up bed chariot. That's how you do it. Right?
Turn around. I wonder if you can see it. Yeah, look at that look at that ass. Look at that horse.
Damn.
Alien horse.
It's a unicorn.
That thing is gnarly,
it's not a unicorn.
Bro.
It's a morse.
Horse. Yeah. It's horns. Two horns.
It's a bull horse.
It's a bihorn.
Ah, horse pucky.
Okay. I'm hoping that it's one of the aliens mated with a...
One of the locusts?
Yeah.
Jesus. A corpser.
Well, they had animal kind of... Yeah, exactly.
A corpser mated with a fucking... like a field of horses.
Yeah.
They just, oh, shit.
Yeah, you better not die, buddy.
You better hurry up, man.
Hold A to run faster.
The
there you go.
When I was playing earlier, this less. Was the first area I died in. So
Run fast.
I can't get through there.
I don't think you're supposed to be this close to this thing.
No, let him.
Yeah,
you told me to run fast, and you're like, wait, no, you did it too wrong. You did it wrong.
You got to figure out how to take down the fence, is what you're doing.
Yeah, you got to run a little closer up there and then shoot down the fence.
The metal poles over there. Yeah, shoot the
bracket, the orange bracket,
the orange thing.
That looks like it's meant to break.
You should stand
Let's see if you were standing over there.
Oh shit!
Man, you got work
for you, audio listeners. We set Adam up to get rocked.
And then if you just in your face.
See there, that look at that lighting.
That looks rad.
It's
Hammer of Donling.
Are you saying graphic quality wise? Or?
No, I'm just kind of talking that it doesn't look
the physics
like
of how it's
natural. Yeah, it's not quite natural. Yeah.
Oh no, Adam,
just
that
stay,
doesn't look good.
Just stay,
trust in it.
Just stay, trust the fungus.
So are we all done?
Yeah,
with
no, you're good. You've been good.
Mario movie.
We've already been talking about it.
Well, so we are playing Gears of War 4. If you couldn't tell,
what?
I thought this was Minecraft.
If you don't know what it is, it's a third-person shooter. It's the developer is the Coalition, which I'm pretty sure is a new developer.
It used to be Cliff Bleszinski's old studio. I can't remember the name right now. Unreal? No. God, I'll look it up.
Yeah. Published by Microsoft Studios. It's kind of interesting if you've been watching the us play through the prologue in the beginning. Like, the...
Epic.
Yeah, when the game starts, you actually start off 2 years before the first game started. So you're getting the Hammer of Dawn technology. That's that big laser that comes out and kills those spider looking things.
Mr. Krabs. Yeah.
It's a corpse.
And then right after that, the next part you play is just right after E-Day, Emergence Day, when the locusts come out of the ground.
Yeah.
So you're shooting them at first, and you're using the Hammer of Dawn, killing them all. And then at some point, the person on the radio tells you just like, "I'm sorry, the Hammer of Dawn just went offline," and then you die. Everybody dies there.
Yeah. Because that's life, man.
Dying in the beginning of this. Yeah. Like,
life is a cold piece.
It's a rule. Without a mask, like anyone with, you can see their face, they usually end up surviving. It's all the masked characters that end up dying. So every character you played during that prologue had a mask on.
Right.
Because they're not important enough. They're like red shirts.
Yeah. Well, there's a running joke through 1, 2, and 3 about the Carmine brothers. Every team had a Carmine, and every team had a Carmine die. Uh-huh. I don't know. It's just I love Gears. I think Gears is great. It started off as like a, this is what's going on. It's an unforgiving romp of masculinity and shoot 'em up. Deal with it. And then, like halfway through, they're like, "Oh, maybe there's a story here." And then the third one's like, "Hey, we found the story." And then they did a prequel. They did Gears of War Judgment, which was with Baird.
I never played that one.
I never played that one either. But it was kind of a choose your own adventure. Like you'd go into encounters and you'd be able to choose a difficulty setting. Like if you'd find the Gears of War spray painted, you could choose to add a level of difficulty to the level for an extra reward.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but that would be it. Like, you'd either do that or don't.
Probably gotcha. Break it into somewhere?
Sentinels.
Gotta be all sneaky sneak.
Mike said he couldn't tell that this was Gears of War we were playing. He's like, what else would it be? Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, Mike, instead of watching Supergirl.
Fuck! It was real good last week.
The part I played just before I handed off to Adam, before we started talking about the game, I think it's one of the coolest parts of the prologue, because you're playing like simultaneously with the end of Gears of War 3. So if you were watching it, like I was shooting those big, I don't know what they're called, but the big...
Brumax.
What?
Brumax.
Brumax?
Yeah,
okay.
Brumax.
I was shooting them with the turret, and then all of a sudden like this blue light comes out of the sky.
Yeah.
That's what you set off in Gears of War 3.
Yeah.
To end the locust invasion.
It's X.
What is that exactly? Just
the what?
The blue NEMP stuff.
Oh, it's it's like a biological weapon against the locust.
Yeah, it was some weapon we designed to just take them all out.
Oh, that thing looks.
But you had to like go into where their hive was and set it off.
I think he's gonna shoot you.
Actually, we ended up on the top of the tower.
He's at the building.
End of three. Yeah.
It's been a while since I played.
Dude, that's a hell of a rivet gun.
This studio was nowhere in our minds. Like we were still at your apartment.
Oh yeah, yeah. We were playing co-op on like 360. Yeah.
I did like how the wall went around the city when that storm came, and then it's like it can't go over the wall. You know, like we put a wall up, the storm won't go in the wall. Oh.
So now we're like 25 years after the end of Gears of War 3. And I think this guy that you're playing is the son, right?
Yeah, it's Marcus Fenix's son, but that's a spoiler. No, it's actually revealed
pretty
in the trailer.
Sure, yeah.
It's in the trailer. Yeah. But yeah, this is his son. We just haven't been introduced to him. Fun fact, main character, guy that you're playing, voiced by Nolan North.
There you go.
Nathan Drake and every other fucking game character in the
I really like universe. The guy. He's like, no, citizens claim that we're a part of something. He's like, I am a part of the anarcho whatever. Smart.
Yeah.
He's cool.
He's kind of an asshole.
Nice active reload, Adam.
Good job, buddy.
I wasn't even trying.
I missed a lot of those. So.
I completely forgot.
You
all
shot
about
your
it.
Homie in the
what
hip.
What button is it?
It's a right bumper.
Oh, okay.
But it's you need to have reloadable things. You don't.
Yeah.
You run out of ammo.
You out of ammo. Don't shoot the big guy. I don't know what would happen.
Yeah, I'd probably shoot you nothing. That big-ass staple gun he's rocking.
Seriously, that's a big-ass staple
today gun. Today is actually the first time the first time I used a controller to play this game. Because I think that's one of the cool things about this game is I bought it, or I intended to buy it for the
That glowy thing is ammo right there.
Yeah, inside the flashing thing. intended to buy it for the PC, but it's just cross-platform between the, mm-hmm. the Xbox One and Windows 10. You have to have Windows 10 to get
oh,
it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it lets you, so like, I bought one copy and I can play inside the house and then I could come out here and just sync up my save data and just finish the game out here or whatever, you know. I thought that was kind of cool. Like, I got a couple achievements inside in the house. So,
yeah.
You know, it's linked to your account.
Nice. That's a nice copper door brass.
Yeah,
looks like copper.
Looks like a solid chunk of metal.
It's all built
sure.
by robots.
So now in the future, are we like warring robots? Or are we fighting against the man who controls the robots?
Yeah, it's more like that. I think it's called like the ordered governments or something. A little bit later on, you'll get inside and you'll see like some propaganda posters up on the walls and stuff.
That was hardcore.
They talk about because the Earth got screwed with the war. So there's some posters that talk about like the need to repopulate Earth and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I'm down for that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure these robots are built to be like you know like defenders or like
yeah.
cops, pretty much. You know,
keep the peace. Yeah,
right.
And builders, obviously.
So you're sneaking in to steal something right now.
Yeah, we're being real sneaky.
I don't know how often. Yeah. Like, those red bots seem to just be welding the same places. Just saying it doesn't seem very efficient. Maybe they're, like, 3D printing the whole building. Like, those
That'd
robots
be pretty
are.
Cool, actually. Yeah.
I like that really big robot that puts in, like, whole sections and then just, like,
Ooh,
rivets
these
or
are
staples
a pain
in
the
them.
Ass.
They blow up next to you.
Basically, yeah, they're just trying to roll over to you and explode. So you got to shoot them to kind of keep them back or make them explode further away from you.
Or let your buddies blow them.
Shotgun's real good for it.
Mm.
Yeah.
What sucks is when there's, like, 10 or 15 of them coming at you at once. Maybe it'll be easier on... I think we're playing on normal, right?
Yeah.
Were you playing on what, hardcore?
We were playing on hardcore before the show started.
Yeah.
I died a lot.
Like, my personal game is hardcore, because when you start it off, it says that's what the way it was meant to be played.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it? People... Let it tell you what to do?
Oh.
Yeah?
Well, yeah, I mean...
All right.
Don't you listen to it when it's like use right trigger to shoot?
Wait, just fucking kick that.
Reload
thing.
With the.
Oh man!
Take cover.
You get marched on.
Active reload.
Do you have what other guns do you have?
He's got his marksman gun.
Reload.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
You might have
does
some
it still give you the bonus
too.
To damage? If
it
you
does
do it
if you hit it right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just on the thin white line, right? And anywhere in the other one just automatically stops the reload process, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you do it at the wrong time, it jams.
You're about to die.
Stand up.
Nothing like forgetting, though, man. I used to hate that in this game. When you get caught off guard, you reload, and you don't think about it, and it goes past, and you're just like, shit.
This game, the only problem I see with this game is the problem that I think every Gears game has. It's just kind of wonky controls to get used to. You have to realize that this isn't your CSGO level of Twitch shooting. This is Gears.
Yeah, it's very clunky. Like, running kind of sucks in this game. It always has, though.
You sprint in a straight line.
Pretty much. It's real hard to... Like, you can kind of control yourself, but just a little bit.
Well, it's because I think you're running to the thing in front of you.
To the next cover,
yeah. So...
Mike, instead of achievements, he says trophies.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's a reward system.
Yeah.
We'll just call it that.
Steam has achievements. That's good enough for me.
Yeah. PC Master Race.
That's probably why he doesn't play Steam very often, because he doesn't get trophies then.
You gotta get in there and get that ammo, buddy.
You gotta get in there, man.
You gotta get in there, buddy.
You gotta get in there.
Did you get in there?
I feel so bad for the audio listeners sometimes.
Yeah. So, when are you gonna ride around that big robot mech with the rivet gun?
You don't?
Well, probably not, but...
Well, fuck this game.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Hand the controller over.
This is post-apocalypse, right?
They can't show you a big-ass mech suit like that and never let you ride in it.
Like, how
are you talking about? They do that in games all the time.
Yeah. There's a...
Yeah, games
there will
that
be
fail.
Plenty of... Well,
really?
What?
I think there's plenty of times where, like, you don't get to do things. Like, you can't fly a jetliner in GTA 4 or GTA 5.
That's why I don't play it anymore. And you
can't.
That's
exactly why. No, you can't fly a 747.
Oh.
Where?
Yeah, private
when?
Jet.
That's
you can
why
fly
I
a private
playing.
Jet, yeah.
You can steal them from the airport. They randomly spawn ones that you can get into.
Those are... That's not a 747. That's like a... Learjet. Cargo plane.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. It is a cargo plane. It's the same size, but you're right. It's not passenger based.
Well, I want to kill 200 people.
Another cool thing about this game, five stars. I think it's been that way for the whole series, but it does offer local co-op, split screen co-op.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which isn't really offered too much anymore in games.
It's not, but
kind of novelty. Yeah.
Yeah,
I do. Well, it's because nobody plays together anymore locally. Like, we all just play online.
We like to play with our pants off at home.
I would say I Waiting for Players exclusively plays local co-op on everything.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Why the fuck is it? Oh, oh, never mind. I'm...
Do you want to throw it? You're about to die.
Yeah.
Shit. Bounce grenade.
I'd go back to
roll, buddy. Roll, buddy.
Oh, you're getting murked.
Hot.
Fry your bacon.
I haven't actually gotten to play Horde mode yet, but I know I've seen a lot of people on the internet and on Reddit complaining about the Horde mode is kind of like pay to win. A lot of microtransactions, like you can buy like these, essentially like card packs, you know, where, and then it'll...
boosters?
Are they buffs?
Yeah, for boosters and stuff.
Like a buff?
Look at that fine control, Adam's got
to
try.
I want somebody to say yes, John, like a butt.
Nope, you were a little off.
You got to just hit him in general. Fuck the head. Like, go for the body, center mass.
Yeah.
Just like the military teaches you, Adam. Aim for what you can hit.
But there's,
hit him in the foot.
There's some people that are talking, like, you got to do a bunch of, like 20 or more horde modes all the way to completion to get, like, 500 points or so. And some of the packs cost like 4,500 points.
Jeez. Oh wow!
So it's either a huge grind or you pay for it. Yeah.
Fuck that.
Oh, you're down.
It doesn't affect like the actual multiplayer, the competitive modes and stuff. Yeah. You know.
Just run straight but at him.
It is for
horde mode. Was one of my favorite things about this game, though.
Yeah.
Also, the first version of horde mode was Gears of War. Firefight came after this. Zombies came after this.
Right.
Gears of War was the pioneer of Horde mode.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Sorry, John.
That's fine. I just, like, me and Adam used to play Horde mode all the time, you know, and it was one of my favorite things about the game. After we beat the story mode, all we ever did was play Horde mode. We never went back and played the story again.
Why?
It was just like you're trying to get down on some Horde mode, man, and we would just sit there for hours and, like, we found a little spot where you could stand by, and we would alternate taking the ammo crate that spawned there, man, and we would just hold the corners. And, like, yeah.
There's oil everywhere.
Ew. Got oil on me. Oh, hey, that thing's going to blow up.
Oh.
Good dodge.
I don't think he dodged it.
No, I don't think he dodged it either.
He dodged the hell out of it.
Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge. The 5Ds are getting wrecked. So,
who else we got here?
So Adam's got a gadget.
We have about 10 minutes left.
Oh, I do have a gadget. So, let John get down for a little bit.
he's been pushing that for the last 5 minutes, just very subtly.
I know.
At one point, he was just like, just hand it over.
Oh, shit. Sneaky, man.
So, I am talking about, those are notes, is what I want. The Feinster Duo. It is a GPS tracker that... You clip to your dog. You can do it with a cat, but
you
can
add it to your dog.
Yeah,
like an add-on.
Yep.
Like you upgrade it.
You just plug it right in. No, you add it to the dog's collar or the kitty's collar if you really want to. And it's a GPS tracker for your animal. So in case it runs off or you go take it hiking off the leash, you can still see where he's at. Or if he gets out of the backyard, you can leave it on him all of the time. And it also comes with it's called the Commander and a Follower dongle.
Shoot him in the foot.
Obviously,
that's
the
Josh
Follower
said.
Is for the pet, and then the Commander one is for you, and you just keep that in your pocket. But that's how it's able to track your dog without actually using any data, so you're not actually ever having to... Once you buy it, you don't have to pay to use data to keep tracking this GPS. It keeps track of not only steps that you take while you're out with your dog, but also steps that your dog takes. So it's the paw tracker, as it calls it. But yeah, it's basically the app is an overlay of Google Maps, so it will show you where obviously you're at on the map and then where the other GPS unit is. Hopefully it's still on your dog. It does attach via a little Velcro strap. It makes you so you can see where your pup is at. One thing I did like about the app is you can actually set like a radius around you. So if when you're out walking, say you're hiking, and you just want to let him run through the woods and have fun, it'll let you know once he's say 20 yards away or 30 yards away, whatever you set it at, and then you can call him back or her, whatever, you know.
Hopefully, he listens.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't just keep running.
Doesn't just keep going. Fucking squirrel. You can also set it to where, say you have a house on a lake and you don't want the dog out near the water. You can put a barrier in the app around the edge of the water, and then as soon as the dog crosses that line, it'll immediately notify you on your phone. And yeah, it just really, it's a great way to keep track of your dog, especially if you live out in a really rural area. And another thing that I really liked about this was they have been partnering with dog food manufacturers or pet food manufacturers, and they have like goals and challenges that pop up through the app that you can do, which gets you discount on food and stuff.
Right on. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So it's a way to kind of just interact with your doggy a little bit more, because you can put it on your cat. They advertise it as you can put it on your cat.
Fuck that.
Who the fuck takes their cat for a walk?
Is that cool? There's a cat that thinks it's husky.
That's true.
Dude.
Not so much who takes it for a walk, just I don't see people using this for a cat. And most of the time, like, cat collars, you want to use, like, breakaway collars on them.
What do you mean, breakaway?
So that if, like, it gets caught on something, it'll just pop off versus strangling the cat, like if it jumped over a fence.
Right.
Climbed up a tree.
So it doesn't just hang itself?
Yeah. Seen cats hang themselves, it's not cool.
Yeah.
I believe
it's probably you should always use a break-off collar.
Yeah,
for a
breakaway
cat.
Collars. John, Mike says that this collar is perfect for keeping track of you because you never show up.
Oh, man. Shoots it.
What's great about John is like he focuses entirely on one thing at a time. So he's not giving a shit about you right now, Mike.
What's great about this though,
Mike?
Is
Mike, wait. I will give a shit for a second.
God damn it!
Fuck you, Mike. Fuck you, Mike. All right. Anyways, you guys were saying.
This is already completely funded, so you can expect to see this go to market. But early birds right now, I believe, are $70, and it'll retail for $150.
Yeah.
And it comes with the charging port, the pet side dongle, the master side dongle, and then obviously the app you just download through the App Store for free.
Right.
So yeah, $150. Like I said, it's, especially because a lot of people get really attached to their pets, $150 to keep track of them all of the time, not that big of a deal. And before I finish up, because that's pretty much it, it's just a really basic GPS tracker for collars. One master dongle in one app can actually handle up to 5 pet dongles. So you can actually, if you have multiple dogs or multiple pets you want to keep track of, you can do it all through the same app and all.
Nice.
So it can all communicate to the one master dongle, which I thought was really nice. Yeah, that's that.
Yeah, I can see it if you've got, you know, like some dogs are really expensive if you're buying certain breeds and purebreds and stuff like that.
I think everybody was supposed to protect their dog.
Yeah.
What's the battery life on these things?
That is actually a very good question, and I do not have an answer for you off the top of my head. Give me 1 second.
I would hope it would be pretty long, just because it doesn't really...
Yeah.
Mike says you're welcome, John.
No, they have a stats section here that I just need to find. The modules can communicate up to 2 miles. I know that's not what you asked, but... continuous GPS tracking for 12 hours.
12 hours.
Yeah, activity features only, so like the step counter and stuff like that. With no GPS on, it can go for up to 5 days.
Does it have a LiPo or double A's or?
No, it's come through a little charging port that you just
plug it in every night.
Yeah, plug them in. And yeah, like say every night when you bring your dog in for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because that's what my dad does.
Up
when
on
he
the
brings his dog
John.
In for the night, okay. Like he takes his collar off and stuff anyways.
It's too late now. Just
disconnect it and plug it right in. I actually thought about getting this for my dad for his dog, because he takes his dog out hiking and stuff quite a bit, and when he's out in the middle of nowhere, he'll just let the dog run around and have fun, because not too worried about it biting other animals or things,
don't have any.
Think.
And then you could tell when it was so far, got so far away from you.
Or you could even, I mean, it'll even still, even if you're out on a trail and maybe there's no map for it, it'll still show you like what direction he's in, so you can still be like, oh, well, he went that way.
It would also really work hunting with retrievers.
Oh, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
When you go to send your dog after it.
Yeah, you would know where your dog went. And that way, if something happened to your dog, you could find your dog.
Or if, in case the dog had to chase it for a while and you lost track of it, it'd be really easy to go.
Yeah, especially if it communicates for up to 2 miles.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty good range. I mean...
Yeah, no, I'm just...
I thought it was a really, really interesting, and I liked the fact that it didn't use data. Like, that's what kind of sold me on doing this as the gadget this week, is that it's not going to suck away your mobile data, and you can use it anywhere you'd like. Yeah. But that is it. That is the Feinster Duo. One thing I did want to bring up on this game, because it kind of goes with what we were talking about last week, or where we talked about the 1 terabyte cap for Comcast.
Mm-hmm.
This game was a 73 gigabyte download on the PC.
So you could do it like 11 times.
And a 50 gig download on the Xbox One.
So you're already 120.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I look back in June, I hit 1.2 terabytes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What did we do in June?
I don't know.
We must have done something.
A lot of porn. I don't know. I must have been downloaded a bunch of stuff or something.
Yeah. Well, isn't that when, was that when, Doom came out? Nope, because you've got that physically.
No, well, I had that physically and on the PC, so that's like a 50 gig download.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know.
And it's still, I mean, even though I have it physically, it's still like a 40, 50 gig download on the PS4.
So that's one, each download of that. That's 1/20th of your total.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I can see that cap being an issue at some point.
Yeah, that's totally it, John.
Comcast.
It is it. Not used to long things.
Well, in the interest of keeping these things quick, let's talk about some stuff coming up and stuff we've got out for Waiting for Players this week. We got the new Fibbage video out. That was fun. Be sure to go check out our YouTube channel for that. Garrett came out of nowhere and won that game with Fibbage.
But final round, man.
But Jurassic John, your butt buddy, and Silence Dubro, and Real Adam, they all showed their merit.
I was the worst.
I tried, okay?
I was your butt buddy.
Those games are always fun to play, though. So.
Yeah, no, they're
I
always
fun. I rarely fucking win that or Drawful.
Mike wants us to...
I'm better at Drawful.
Mike wants us to be reminded that Hoop Fest is in June, and that probably took a few terabytes.
Is he going
to
be able to play with that gimpy leg? Are you excited for that, Mike?
It's Hoop Fest.
It's basketball.
In Yakima.
Yeah.
It's like a 3-on-3 tournament in Spokane or some shit.
Yeah. Is someone we know playing that?
Mike.
Oh, cool.
That's who said, Mike. That's why he said Hoop Fest is in June.
Mike has taken the championship a couple times there.
So. Yeah, he's also
when
coming.
When he was younger.
He's also coming second first a couple times, too. Like, second and third. Yeah.
Anyway, nice try there.
Whatever.
Whoa, watch out where you stand, because this was the second time I died.
You stood where a clamp went. You were like, "This is a good spot
right there."
Yeah.
And then
much.
The machine was like, "Boom!" You're also really.
You can see the big feet. Don't stand there. That's a really.
I had like back to it, so I didn't realize I was standing.
No, we could end on this. No, this could be interesting. Don't just take it, John.
I do have a speedrunners video that I got to do over the course of this next week, and we will definitely do more in that. But also, Waiting for Players, along with Bad Flicks and Comics Brew, will be appearing at Renton City Comic Con at the end of this month at the Red Lion in Renton. We are going to be doing and producing content both Saturday and Sunday, and maybe Adam will do something on Friday.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes, yeah.
Peter's got some stuff he's working on for that con specifically, not only graphically, but also practically. And I'm not going to tease any more than that.
Oh.
So
subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yes. Yeah. You guys are bringing gadgets, though. I know that for sure. You guys...
Oh, here it comes.
Because I told you you're bringing gadgets.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it just
waffle
it's
ironed
way
my
more
ass.
So when you're not looking at it, you're just waiting for the elevator, and all of a sudden,
that's fantastic. You're watching the foot opposite you. You're like, wow, that's cool. Boom.
Yeah, that would have been a rough way to die.
Good kill.
Do you guys have anything else to add?
No, I don't. Think
that's
so.
What the failure screen looks like.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah. Well, this is a good good way to end.
Yeah,
I died.
You did. Way to go. Should not do that.
He's an anarchy horse.
That old anarchy horse. Damn it!
Ha! All right, guys. I'll see you next week.
Have a good
week. Bye.